Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good afternoon. Happy to be with you on this Thursday. Yes, Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster, dead at the age of 71. It has been a tragic week with the losses that we've had. Ozzy, Hulk Hogan, Theo. Really sad, really sad. And, you know, Hulk, 71, right? We just saw him. Last year at the RNC, we saw him leading up to that. I think he made another appearance. He was in Buffalo a few months ago, if I'm not mistaken. And now he is gone. Ozzy's gone. Theo's gone. But we're here with you. 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the show. And so much to talk about. By the way, I want to say, I thought David and Lucas talking about Hulk right when the story broke, that was some great radio. You know, Lucas is a fan. I mean, he is a wrestling fan, and he doesn't just watch the WWE. He likes the AEW. He could tell you where a wrestler is, where they started, their history. He is all over that, and very fortunate for him to be able to share that with us. And his knowledge on Hulk and everything as soon as the story was breaking. So if you missed that part of David's show, I would urge you, you know, after me and Tom are done, to go back on demand on the Odyssey app and take a listen to that. As I said, so much going on. There's always a lot going on. And this is a topic that I talked about almost exactly a year ago. And so many people called in upset with the topic. They were upset with what I was saying. Well, guess what? I'm going to do it again because it's in the news. And this is, it's unfortunate for Western New York. It's unfortunate, you know, when you have so little time, to quote the Mary-Kate and Ashley song, so little time, so much to do. You have so little time.
When we use energy more efficiently,
oh,
we
sorry.
Don't just...
Is that me? My bad. When you have such little time in the summer to enjoy the weather, and you're going to take your family to the lake, you're going to go to the beach, and there's a sign that says, sorry, poop levels are too high, you can't go swimming today. That's not what it says. It says bacteria. But yesterday, we heard again from the Environmental New York Research and Policy Center. Now, I should say that I did put a request out with the folks over there. I never heard back. Would have loved to have someone who conducted these tests jump on and, you know, not only talk about the test, but, you know, also talk about how do we stop the rush of sewage, poop, bacteria into the lake? Because you would think by 2025, this wouldn't be an issue. But it is. And every summer, we are going back to this, hey, maybe we'll go to the beach today, maybe we won't. Let's go online and see if the bacteria is okay. Here is our own Evan DePasquale's report on what's going on at the local beach.
Sunny skies and hot temperatures sends residents of Western New York to the beach. Woodland Beach State Park has had the highest amount of unsafe swimming water. But Sue from South Buffalo is not concerned about swimming in the water.
I don't, but if they do have it, they post it, and I don't go in the water. Just plain as that. I mean, the water's normally good when I come here.
Studies estimate 57 million people each year in the United States get sick from polluted waters. Bella Sherman from Lockport gets worried when it comes to her six-year-old sister.
I do. I know, like, I have the little one. She doesn't care. She could care less. She's just having fun. I definitely worry about it. Like, as soon as I came, my first thing was, there's probably so much, like, crap in the water. So I was definitely a bit worried
literally
about it. But I think as long as, like, you know, we clean her well, that everything should be okay.
Okay. So, Evan, thank you for that report. So there's days, I mean, would you go back into the lake? Think about this. Today, you can't go in, right? The bacteria level is at an unsafe level. Come back tomorrow. I couldn't imagine going into the lake for the rest of the summer. Like, how? It's not completely gone, right? It was there yesterday. The lake's not an ocean, right? I mean, how much is that water really moving out and moving back in? It's kind of just staying there. I couldn't imagine then tomorrow when the gate is reopened because, well, the levels are lower, that I would go jumping into the lake. And don't get me wrong, when I was a kid, through college, we would go in the summer, we'd drive up to Canada, we'd jump in the lake, or we'd go to Woodlawn Beach or Sunset Bay. Like I said, I was in the water all the time. But now the idea, like, it kind of freaks me out. Because you're telling me that 37 times last year, during the summer, so not the whole year, just the summer months where they're testing, you had to close it down because of high bacteria levels. It's already kind of disturbing that the beach is right next to a sewage plant. But this is happening time and time again. And on the hotter days, the day where you'd love to go jump in and cover yourself in lake water, it's closed. Maybe you can go to a local pool if that pool hasn't been vandalized. So it's really pathetic that we are continuing to have these discussions. But I want to know from people out there, because we have a lot of beachgoers. We have a lot of people who love being in the lake, right? They got their boats. They like to jump off their boats. It's all fun stuff. You have a jet ski go by and throw some lake water on you. The mindset. I want to know from you, 803-0930, star 930, or on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, 803-0930. Do you regularly go into the lake? And what is your mindset when you hear reports like this? When you hear that the bacteria level is high, are you fine just jumping in the next day when the gate is open? And then, like, the long-term lookout. Is there any way we can make this not a problem? You know, David brought it up earlier. All the money that the city, the county got, you know, we were being told how perfect our credit rating is and all this cash we have on hand. Do you remember those days? I remember those days. I was hosting Hardline. We were told about how beautiful our economic standing is. Is there not something that can be done to make sure that we're not dumping all this bacteria into the lake? Or is that a lost cause? There's no way to improve the infrastructure. The lake has to be there as a dumping ground for sewage. I know I might not 100% know what the right answer is, but it is kind of concerning. And, you know, I love the summer. And I was on Lake Erie on Saturday up in Canada, and it was nice, right? There were frogs jumping on the beach. My son loved it. The water looked decent. But when I hear reports like this, the flags go up. It's like, I don't know if I want to go back in that. I don't know if I want to go on the day that it does pass. I don't know if I want to eat fish out of that lake. Am I the crazy one? And I know we did this last year. Like I said, I did this a year ago. People were not overly happy with it. But when you think of summer and you think of going to the beach, going to Lake Erie, are you sitting by the beach or are you fine just going into the water? 803-0930-star-930. Someone said on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, Lake Erie is the Great Lakes pool skimmer. Don't forget all the radioactive crap dumped by Bethlehem Steel. Another person said, went to Beaver Island Saturday. It was packed. Went in only up to the waist, not under the water. I don't know if I want to go back now. See, that's what I'm thinking. That it's there 37 times last year. It was closed to swimming. Now, a texter did say, Joe, the water is consistently moving. Okay. But obviously, the bacteria is continuing to get dumped in there because 37 times last year, it was shut down because of the bacteria. And I want to be able to enjoy the lake is what I'm saying. I want to clear that up. I want to be able to enjoy Lake Erie. And I have most of my life. But when I continue, for the second summer now, continuing to hear these reports, by the way, I'm glad they're testing it. I am not rooting for an alternative where they just don't tell us and we assume the water's fine. But we have sewage issues, bacteria issues in Lake Erie. We've got in Lake Ontario, in Chautauqua Lake, we've got the weeds and the algae growing to the point where people can't get their boats out. It sucks when your summer is, I know those two aren't related, I'm just throwing another lake issue out there. It sucks when your summer is so condensed and you want to get everything out of it that you're running into obstacles enjoying the water. And I know people will say, well, it's always been like that, and look, I'm still here. I know. But when you hear this, I just want to know, is anyone else running to be the next person when they flip the gate? 803-0930-star-930. Someone says, Joe, I work at a wastewater treatment plant. We have very, very strict rules and regulations on what we send out at our outfall. It is tested constantly. Okay, but obviously what you're sending, unless I'm reading this wrong, what you're sending out is still high enough for the beaches to be closed. Do you get what I'm saying? Another person said, can't forget the fish eating advisories. Yes. And Olcott Beach, it's never open for swimming. 803-0930-star-930. Norma in Tonawanda. Norma, how are you looking at this water bacteria issue?
Well, first of all, I'd go swimming in it. I'd take my granddaughter there. I'm not worried about it. For hundreds of years, people swam in that lake before they had all this nonsense with New York State. And honestly, I think it's a big scam. Have you ever checked the beaches in Ontario that we all go across the border to swim in? Because there's no sign over there. It's the same lake. And all that water moves down to the river. I wouldn't swim in the river. And then it moves down into Ontario because the river is just too fast moving. You'd end up in the Ontario River down the falls and all that. So, I mean, all that water moving is obviously pulling all that nonsense with it, too. And as far as the guy with that steel plant hasn't been in operation, 30 years now or 40 years? So I think we're good as far as that nonsense goes.
You think that stuff is all cleaned out of the lake?
Sure do.
All right. Hey, Norma.
If it's not, it's at the bottom and it's not moving anywhere.
Yeah, I hear you, Norma. I appreciate the call. Norma in Tonawanda, I just want to know this. This is a great question. What is an acceptable bacteria level? Because we hear, and this is the interview. Let me play this. This is from this morning.
I have the little one. She doesn't care. She could care less. She's just having fun. I definitely worry about it. Like, as soon as I came, my first thing was, there's probably so much, like, crap in the water. So I was definitely a bit worried about it. But I think as long as like, you know, we clean her well, that everything should be okay.
I'm more so concerned for, yeah, like my nieces and nephews to get in and kind of get in there and play around and stuff, especially if they were out and they like cut their knee or something, or, you know, then that's a little bit more of a concern. Not
that's
so much
fair.
For myself, but for them, for sure.
Does the bacteria levels in the beaches here in Buffalo concern you and make you not want to go swim?
I follow them. I own a boat too, so I mean, I do keep up on the bacteria levels, but, you know, not too bad unless there's like a real hard warning about staying out of the water. But then again, you know, with having the boat, I can still be out in the water. So just day he wanted to come to the beach, so we skipped the boat and came to the beach.
And they let you know when there's high bacteria levels. So, I mean, I don't go in there when they say it. So, yeah, I think I love it here.
So that's the question. Because high levels is when they close the lake. But there's always some sort of bacteria level. So do you at some point feel safe? Are you okay knowing there's some bacteria, but it's not at the heightened level? According to the person in charge of this, Dave Mazur, he says, quote, at Woodlawn Beach State Park, the beach water tested potentially unsafe for swimming with higher bacteria levels on 37 days in the 2024 beach season. That's one-third of the days tested for water quality at this beach. In fact, Woodlawn Beach State Park had the highest number of potentially unsafe swimming days for any beach tested across New York State. That's out of nearly 335 beaches tested. The culprits are, now this is going on, the culprits are things you can't really see in the water. Bacteria, fecal matter, pathogens entering the lake from storm and sanitary sewer runoff, as well as agricultural waste, which enters the lake. Woodlawn is also located right next to the Erie County Sewage Treatment Plant, which is why the health department tests its water daily during the swimming season and will post signs advising swimmers to stay out of the water if pollutants are a concern. Sadly, nearby Hamburg Beach didn't fare much better, ranking third in the safe in the state for a number of potentially unsafe days in 24, with 30 out of 95 days tested at that beach. This, why are the Western New York beaches near the top of the list? There's 335 beaches tested. Number one and three are in Western New York. Does anyone concerned about that? And how do you approach it? Are you fine? Is it out of mind? Out of state, out of mind? What's the saying? Out of sight, out of mind. Thank you, Jimmy. Or do you say, yeah, you know what? I'll go, I'll lay out at the lake, but I'm not going in, or I'll go on the boat. But if I want to go swimming, you know, I'll go to a pool. 803-0930, star 930, and when you look at stuff like this, again, one in three are in Western New York on the 335 beaches tested. Do you point the finger at the county, at the city? What kind of changes would you propose they make? This is, to me, it's just scary stuff. And I want us to be able to enjoy the water. I want us to be able to enjoy summer in Western New York without, you know, the fear of being sick. Because of what's in the water. 803-0930, star 930, Beamer on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you for making us a part of your day today and every day. Someone on the text board says, hey, Joe, my father ate fish from the lake a lot, lived to be 101, and the Bills lost 4 Super Bowls with those dumb red helmets. All right. Well, I see your point, Texter. I continue every summer to see these reports, to see these beaches being closed because of high bacteria levels. And I'm just wondering, am I the only one that looks at that and go, I'm probably going to stay away from the lake for 2 weeks. And if you go with that mindset, you'll never go to the lake because 37 times in 95 days. If you want to continue to comment on that, 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on. But yesterday, another AI announcement from the White House. Now, I want to say that I do agree with the president that I think, you know, we should be not letting China win any kind of race, right? However, artificial intelligence is one of these things that definitely scares me. And, you know, it's because of the unknown. And I realize what AI is, you know, computers that are learning more every time you search something. And believe me, there are times where I've looked something up and Google AI has given me something that's 100% wrong. I realize it's like we talked about yesterday with electric buses, right? It's still in its introductory phase, and it's not at the top level it can be at. But I feel when it comes to AI, I'd like more of a hold your horses type of attitude in Washington, because we know just in, you know, so few years of it being around what it can do. I mean, these AI videos are getting more and more realistic. And yes, it's helping out certain places. I know there are some radio stations that are using AI DJs. But I would just say we want to be careful. We don't want the AI to overpower humans. And I don't mean in a military type force. I just mean take over. And I know this is going to sound absolutely insane, but have you ever seen the movie Smart House, where the house was AI? This movie was like in 99. Jimmy probably knows what I'm talking about. And the house took over. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be to that extent. But, you know, you get to work one day and the AI has completely rewritten how you log in, has taken over certain controls of whatever type of job you have. My concern is, how much do we want AI to be responsible for? If AI confused Cuomo stepping down with Cuomo losing an election to Kathy Hochul, what is it going to screw up if we give it a bigger responsibility, right? I don't want AI to ever fly my airplane. I don't want AI to be in charge of the control tower. I don't want AI to drive my car. Now, I realize that that is already a reality. That, to me, is a little scary. I don't want to give a computer the keys to my car. I don't want him to have that type of control. Now, again, I am not overly knowledgeable on AI more than what I can see and use and what I've heard, right? What I've heard about AI and the uses of AI. Again, I don't want China to have AI and start, you know, selling it to American businesses. I do agree with the president on that. But I would also like either more information available to us, the people who don't really understand exactly what's going on, what the end goal is. And, you know, I also in the workforce. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to my voice now who are concerned that one day AI could do their job, right? We already see that with the role of secretary. We run commercials for that, right? I see that on Facebook all the time. Have your own personal secretary. It's AI. That is something that's already taken over by artificial intelligence. Customer service. Customer service sucks in 2025. And that's just if you go to a store in person. You call a place, you try to get talking to a live person, especially now when the AI tries to act as a live person. Have you run into this? What's the next thing it's going to take over? What do you do for a living? Is it going to impede on any progress you've made in your career? Like I said, for me, it's the unknowns that really scare me with AI. And I would just like a more of a hold your horses approach. And again, it's not because of what I'm saying. It's because of people who work with AI and know this field and know the potentials if it gets either out of hand or into the wrong hands, what it could mean and what kind of damage it could do to your office's infrastructure, to the American government. I want more of a, let's pump the brakes, let's hold your horses, and let's not put AI in a position to take over more jobs, to take over more ways of life. Yes, it's a nice little tool when you say, hey, ChatGPT, write me up a budget for this week or write me up a meal plan for this week. That's a cool little tool until it's like, ChatGPT, can I have off this Wednesday? Yes, I'm. That's when it's a little out of control. Or ChatGPT, unlock my car doors. Right? It's cool when it's Alexa, play WBEN. It's scary when it's Alexa, I finished that report. Or Alexa, did you finish that report? 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on this? Your thoughts on poop on the beach? Someone says customer service should be a real human. I agree. Another person says, maybe I just don't understand the whole thing. That's the problem. Because AI is popping up in different ways of our life. AI's on your phone. AI's summarizing my emails. That's cool. But what's next? AI's playing DJ on certain radio stations. Okay. That's getting a little scary for me. I work in radio. right? And I'm sure in your field, if you saw that your secretary was replaced by AI, you're going to ask, oh my gosh, what's next? And yes, customer service is a great example of this. And this is even before the AI we have now. I mean, just press 1 to get this, press 8 to get here, press 2 to get back to... Customer service overall is, I would say, at an all-time low. You walk into a place... Now, I realize I've worked customer service. I know you want to get home, right? You deal with at least 10 people a day who, you know, talk down to you. Believe me, I get it. Think that they're, you know, I'm the customer, I'm always right. I understand. But man, you walk into some of these places, and maybe I'm just getting a lot of people on a bad day. But they can't make eye contact with you. They don't walk you. Like if you're at a clothing store, and I say, hey, you know, I'm looking for such and such, and this person's not doing anything, I don't want to be told, yeah, it's over there. Like, walk me to the rack that I'm looking for. You go to a food place, right? Hey, I'm here for order such and such. I don't think we have that. It says you do. Could you look up from your phone and walk back there and see if someone's making it? And now it's, there are times where I'd rather pay a penalty because I don't have 30 minutes to call someone and wait 15 just to get to the live person. That happens more times than once. That happened with a certain utility company that I need to get in touch with. Yeah, customer service is at an all-time low. And I think it goes back to something we talked about earlier in the week. People are so married to their phones. Everyone's bringing their phone to work with them. It's in their pocket. It's on their person. 24/7, 365. How many times have you walked up needing help, either, again, at a store, at a food place, at the bank, and the person is buried in their phone, don't even know that you have approached them with a question? Now, I don't want to sound like the old man, because yes, I worked, you know, part-time school-age jobs when I was in high school, college. I'm a bit removed from that. But I understand. It's addictive. These phones can be addictive. I've admitted that I could use less time on my phone. But if you are working in a field where people are constantly walking around you, walking up to you, you can't put that phone away for, you know, the first part of your shift. You go on lunch break. Oh my gosh, now you can be glued to your phone for 30 minutes. I think that's played part into it. And it's why we don't have people, I mean, just not able to make eye contact. I realize the county executive can't make eye contact, but people who cannot make eye contact, when you're asking just a simple question, you know, they look off into the distance, they keep on looking down at their phone. Yeah, what can I help you with? It is such a, it to me, I don't know about you, but to me, it puts me in such a position of, you know what, I'll go spend my money somewhere else. Especially with some of these places that are overpriced now, you can't help me find the exact shirt I'm looking for or the exact underwear I'm looking for. You know what, I'll go somewhere else, I'll find it myself, or I'll order it online, which is the last thing I want to do, right? I want to keep jobs here, I want to keep places open. But, you know, and I try not to be. I am the last person. Ask my wife. I will look on the app. I will look around 18 times. I am the last person to ask for help at a store. Because I don't want to inconvenience anyone. I know it can be a rough day. You're on your feet all day. I get it. So when I come to you for help, that means I really need some help. Right? I've looked literally everywhere. But those are my concerns with AI, and that is my That's my state of customer service. I don't think it's good. Now, yeah, I think partially it's on the employees themselves, but I also think it's on some of these companies. You know, I go back to my time in retail, and I mean, they were cutting jobs left and right to the point where there was barely anyone on the floor. Now, I realize you're trying to make ends meet. You're trying to cut all extra costs. But there are people that will walk into that store. If they don't see someone that can help them, they're walking right out. You're saving money, but you're in the long run, I believe, losing money. 803-0930, star 930. On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, someone said, maybe if kids aren't going to be allowed to use their phones in school anymore, maybe that will help. I think so. I hope that's the outcome. You know, Niagara Falls has announced that they're going to have the lockable bags or pouches for cell phones to go along with the state rule this year. I hope that's the effect of this and not the other way where you haven't been on your phone all day. So now that's all you're going to do for the next 7 hours. But yeah, I think we need to encourage putting the phone away. I know I said this yesterday. We need to encourage putting the phone away, having social relationships that have nothing to do with your phone, being able to converse with one another. Maybe if you're going to use the phone, picking it up and having a verbal conversation with someone, not just an ongoing text message. Because I do believe, and we're seeing this, again, go to a store, go ask a person of a younger generation to help you. Do they make eye contact with you? Do they walk you to the thing? Do they put their phone down? I think now, again, I think COVID played into this as well, with everything being a Zoom meeting. We have a generation of people who it's the norm is typing your message to somebody. When the norm should be verbal conversation, the norm should be face-to-face conversation, making eye contact, being able to hold a conversation, being able to communicate verbally using words, using tones, you know, in your voice. You know, there's a lot of things that I could never text somebody because you can't text tone. And if I'm trying to make a joke, I could never put the joke on social media or in a text because you need to hear me say it. Because if I don't put the inflection point on the right word, it doesn't sound like a joke. It's not funny. You know what I mean? So I try to keep it like we're doing here, verbal conversation. 803-0930, star 930. You want to talk about that? You want to talk about poop in the water? We'll continue taking those calls. But when we come back, you know, I've been talking about this all this week with the Colbert stuff going on and people on the left still losing their minds saying that it's censorship. It does play into this media echo chamber. And Time Magazine released the most ridiculous list of podcasts, calling it their top 100 podcasts. And this is the equivalent of, you know, pick two politicians that love each other, sitting in the same room and enjoying each other's farts. Because this list is so out of touch, and this is why people don't like the mainstream media, because they're not living in reality. I want to go over that list. I also want to get into Adam Ziglis turning the comments off of his X posts, Mr. First Amendment. We'll talk about that. Also, politicians and selfie videos. Mark Warner, Adam Schiff, someone needs to tell them no one wants to be that close to your face. It's Beamer on WBEN, back after this. Hey, welcome back. Hour number two here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're going to move on to something else, but Lloyd has been very patient. Lloyd, what's on your mind today, my friend?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Yeah, cell phones and customer service, not a good mix. I had an incident a while back. I went to buy straight gas. And I asked the cashier for my receipt, and she cursed at me. And I said, excuse me? And she turned to walk away, and that's when I realized she wasn't cursing at me. She had her earbuds in, and she was having a conversation, maybe a fight or something, with a boyfriend or husband or something. I was not ready to get the manager involved, but I just decided, not hell with it. It's not worth it. But, you know, that and, of course, some of these big box stores, you go in there and you see people walking around with their face stuck in the phone. And then when you talk to them, they either don't know what they're doing or half of them can't even speak English. So I don't know. It's weird. I mean, in the old days when cell phones first came out, we weren't allowed to have them at work. They either had to be locked up in your locker or they had to be put in your car. And if you saw someone walking down the street, usually they were holding the phone up to their ear. You know, now with the earbuds, you don't know what you're looking at. You see someone walking down the street talking to themselves. They could be having a conversation with somebody on the cell phone, or they could be having a psychotic episode. You don't know who you're dealing with anymore.
No. And it's, I mean, I don't know. Maybe all these people are breaking the rule, Lloyd, but it seems like nowhere I go is phones on the floor or no phones on the floor a rule anymore, because every establishment I walk into, it seems like either you see the hand, the phone in their hand, or it's right next to the cash register.
I don't know. It just seems like we're going downhill customer service wise. And then you got the AI nonsense. You know, I get AI spam phone calls all day long.
Oh yeah.
I got to answer them because I don't know whether it's a customer or whether it's a spam phone call, and it's really kind of a pain because you got to stop work. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, there used to be laws against this kind of thing. You know, now it's I don't know what happened. You know, there were spam phone calls that you got, and then they passed a law saying they couldn't do it anymore, and now they're doing it again.
I was going to say, I thought I was on the list, but I'm still getting all the calls. Lloyd, appreciate the call. Yeah, you know, another thing, and again, I don't want to be sitting here saying Mr. Big Government, but if you're not in 716, you shouldn't be able to make a call from 716. Like, these programs that you can call from any phone number, you know, the spammers do it. Oh, they're calling from North Tonawanda. No, they're not. Like, that should be, I'm sorry, that should be illegal. Right? Now, obviously, if you have a phone plan out of Buffalo, you're 716, fine. I'm talking about these telemarketers. They, you know, they have a program where they can put that they're from 716, so it looks like you might know the number. And then you answer it, and it's not. It's someone trying to sell something. That's really disappointing. And that's something that I think, I don't know, is that fair? Is that fair for telemarketers to have that little tool? 803-0930, *930. That's the number to get on. I know, guys, I think I've talked about this every day this week. And I apologize. I promise I'm going to get off this topic eventually. But the Colbert thing, there are still people who are either stupid or just aren't being honest and want to create some type of controversy. This is Senator Elizabeth Warren. She put this out an hour ago. Just listen to this. Listen to this, and then let me, in 2 seconds, tell you where she's wrong.
CBS canceled The Late Show with Stephen Colbert in what they called a purely financial decision. But Colbert's show is one of the most popular late night shows. So why did CBS really cancel Colbert? Well, let's rewind to 2024. Donald Trump sued CBS. At the time, CBS called the lawsuit meritless. 3 months later, Trump became president, and instead of fighting the case, which experts thought they would have won, CBS's parent company, Paramount, settled the lawsuit, handing over a whopping $16 million to Donald Trump's future presidential library. Now, you're probably wondering, why would Paramount settle for millions of dollars if they were likely going to win in court? Good question. It could be because Paramount is trying to push through an $8 billion merger with a media company called Skydance. Oh, and who needs to approve that deal for it to go through? Donald Trump. So let's recap. Trump sues CBS. CBS calls it meritless. Then CBS's parent company, Paramount, settles for $16 million at the same time that they're waiting for Trump's approval of their huge merger. You know, to a lot of people, That looks like bribery. And that is exactly what Stephen Colbert said. And then, just 3 days later, CBS canceled Colbert's show. I've been investigating Paramount's shady potential corruption for months now. And I'm not going to let up anytime soon.
Well, that's great. Number one, why does she have that voice? Why do people get that voice, that talked-down, demeaning voice? Are you born just as someone who, I mean, she just sounds like she's always talking down to people. We all know people like that. Let's move on. Number one, Elizabeth Warren, you work in the government, so you don't know the goal of trying to turn a profit. CBS is trying to turn a profit. Stephen Colbert wasn't turning said profit. His show was way too expensive to make, and he was losing $40 to $50 million. But last night, all of their conspiracies got thrown out the window. Now, Paramount owns Comedy Central, right? And just signed a $1.5 billion deal with the South Park creators for the streaming rights. Last night, South Park did a 30-minute episode, really just going against Trump for the entire episode. Now, there's a difference when South Park does it than when Stephen Colbert does it. Now, I have said this over and over again, right? Will Ferrell doing George Bush was funny. Alec Baldwin doing Donald Trump wasn't funny. Why? Because Baldwin was doing it with hatred. And you can't be funny if you actually hate somebody, right? Or unless you're like a Jon Stewart or a Letterman and you just hate everybody. With Jon Stewart, not so much anymore. But early on in The Daily Show, when Jon Stewart just, you know, treated every politician the same. Now he's kind of gone to the left. But Letterman, you know, he was a liberal. But on his show, he treated everyone the same in the monologue. Stephen Colbert and Alec Baldwin, they have this hatred for Donald Trump. And when you get that, and every joke is surrounding that, it's not funny. South Park, again, they trash everybody. That's why South Park is funny. Now, the episode last night went all after Trump. And you've got people on the political left saying, oh, look, South Park stuck it to Trump. But if you're like me and you're watching it from my point of view, South Park just proved Stephen Colbert wrong in 30 minutes. Because if Paramount was censoring Stephen Colbert for his anti-Trump takes, then last night's South Park episode would have gotten them ripped off of TV. But they're not going to, because for almost three decades, South Park has made Comedy Central and now Paramount boatloads of money, something Stephen Colbert never did. And that is why Stephen Colbert is being yanked off the air. Again, you're going to have a lot of people on the left go, oh, look, South Park, what they did, they stood up for Stephen Colbert. I would say they proved Stephen Colbert wrong in a 30-minute episode. Also, Elizabeth Warren's upset because Stephen Colbert made her feel cool. And let's be honest, Elizabeth Warren was probably never cool. So she thought she was one of the cool kids because she would go on a show that used to be visited by, you know, the cool people of Hollywood. But Stephen Colbert's show has become NPR at 11:35. So she's upset because that was she was on that show like 14 times. By the way, if Elizabeth Warren is on your show 14 times, you can't have a humorous show. Elizabeth Warren and humor do not go hand in hand. So she's investigating it. She's not doing anything for her constituents. She's investigating why the show that made her feel cool is going off the air. I mean, thank you for your great use of our tax dollars, Elizabeth Warren. Remember when Mark Poloncarz was on the Elizabeth Warren campaign in 2020? Does anyone remember that? Just me? Let's move on. Mark in Tonawanda. Mark, what do you think of all this?
Hi, Joe. How are you? I just wanted to say, you know, Ms. Warren, if she wants to investigate anything, I want her to investigate how all these people in Congress are multimillionaires on the salary they make. Let's start there with that investigation. You know what I'm saying?
It's a great question. It's a great question. How, you know?
I would love to talk to some of these people. They talk to me for 2 minutes and go, whoa, this guy's too much. And they would hang up when they talk to me. Because I say, let's not worry about this. Let's worry about what you're doing all day on your computer in your office up on Capitol Hill. What are you doing? Getting the latest stock deals? Were you, you know, you, what do they make, 180 grand a year? And they're worth 20, 30, 40 million? That should be a huge investigation. It should have happened years ago. Talk about working for the people who voted and pay your salary. Give me a break. Another broken system in this crazy country. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I mean, the thing is, for them to investigate, someone would have to investigate themselves. And, you know, once you get into that club, you know what I mean? I mean, you've seen how politics have changed so many people. Once they get into that club, they're no longer asking for term limits. They're no longer asking for this and that, because now they're also benefiting at your expense.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they ought to get all these judges that are, all these judges that have these crazy rulings. They ought to have, you know, their own separate investigative panel. And I mean, I think it's a fair question. How do you make 180 grand a year and you retire 10 years later, you're worth $20, $30 million?
Yeah,
you don't tell me that that's something crooked. That's crooked with a capital C, and yet it continues and goes on and goes on. And I just want to make about all these late shows. If I was on a late show, you better watch what you say, because look what happened to CBS. Look what's going to happen to Wall Street Journal. You're going to be writing some big checks if you don't play the game right and know exactly what you're talking about, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, Wall Street, I mean, CBS. Yeah, thanks, Mark. I mean, you know, Elizabeth Warren, like you said, going after CBS for the 60 Minutes thing. I mean, they literally altered Kamala Harris's answer. I mean, Trump was in the right. You can say that, he shouldn't have brought it. The election was over. But Trump was in the right. CBS altered the answer of Kamala Harris to make her look better. That's not the job of CBS. And they didn't even cut out they cut out an answer from another question and moved it so she would sound like she gave a coherent answer instead of a 5-minute filibuster. That's not right. That's not a fair and just journalist media outlet. So I think Trump was right on that one. And again, I think the safest thing you can do in entertainment in 2025 is criticize Trump. It's so overdone that no wonder they're not making money on it. But to say that he was fired because he went after Donald Trump, it just sounds so stupid. It really does. And like I said, I think South Park last night, same company, what they did, if you don't see that as them saying, look, you know, as them proving Colbert wrong, then again, I think you're looking at it from your political point of view, which is fine. That's how we unfortunately have gotten in this country. But South Park was able to get away with what they did last night because, again, they make boatloads of money. Still, Stephen Colbert doesn't. Stephen Colbert was funny when he played a character. He's not funny when he's playing whatever, himself, I guess. But this is just another example of this media echo chamber. So Time Magazine came out with the top 100 podcasts of all time. And I have to tell you, now I'm not like the biggest podcast person, right? I love radio and live radio and listening, you know, as the show's developing. But this list, I mean, this is just Time Magazine, the mainstream media, they love to smell their own farts. If you look through this list, Joe Rogan, not on the list. So, I mean, that's already, it's out of the it's not a reputable list. Everyone knows the Joe Rogan podcast. The guy gets 100 million downloads. Not in this list. But who is in this list? Dax Shepard. Armchair expert Dax Shepard. Never, I know Dax from the show Punked, never heard of the podcast. Bill Simmons, of course, Bill Simmons, the big lib. Of course he's on this list. Going on the list, Conan O'Brien, I like Conan. I didn't know his podcast was overly popular. Every NPR podcast, every New York Times podcast on this list. You cannot tell me these are the best podcasts based on ratings. These are podcasts based on mindset, on political leaning. I mean, the Ezra Klein Show from New York Times, Fresh Air from NPR, Good Hang with Amy Poehler. Oh, you mean the podcast where Amy Poehler talked about how she regrets doing the stuff that made her money? Don't you just love that? When someone who made their money with a particular sort of comedy now says, well, future generations, you can't do that. It's not right. I wish I hadn't. Oh, yeah. So why don't you give back the money you made off doing that kind of comedy? I think that is like the worst thing in entertainment to do. To say, you know, I'm ashamed. It's like how Stern is now. Howard Stern's the exact same way. Oh, you know, it was a different time. That wasn't right. We probably shouldn't have done that. Okay, well, then give back your money. If you shouldn't have done that and you're so ashamed of it, why are you living this amazing life on the money? Because now what you're doing is saying, hey, I'm sorry I did that. Let me take my millions. But now the comedy actor who's trying to, you know, do what you did and make a living, well, now you've shut that door for them. Right? Well, Amy Poehler says we can't do this. Or Howard Stern says we can't do this anymore. I think that is so, I get so ticked off when people do that. Yeah, I don't like the way that I made my money. Okay, then give it back. If you're so ashamed, give your money back. That's one thing about me. Hey, like I said, not every topic might be a home run. There might be shows where you're like, my gosh, Joe, what happened? But you're never, I might go back and say, hey, I was wrong about this. I'm never going to say, oh, my gosh, I am so ashamed of how I, number one, I'm not making Amy Poehler or Howard Stern money. But, like, I at least have some pride in what I bring to the airwaves. Like, I love what I do, and I love the style. And you know what? I'll never be sorry for the style. I'll apologize if I said something that's factually incorrect. But these people literally closing doors for the next generation is such a slap in the face. While they live their beautiful lives with, you know, the work that they're ashamed they did. But these podcasts, it's insane. And again, this is Time Magazine telling you, hey, this is what you should be listening to. No Barstool podcasts, no Joe Rogan, no podcast on this list, except for Caller Daddy, gets any kind of notoriety. I guarantee no one on these airwaves have ever listened to anything on this podcast list. But this is this is Time Magazine, who is still used to being the standard and being, you know, we're Time Magazine. It's 2025. You're a joke. No one takes you seriously. Time Magazine, New York Times, Buffalo News, your yesterday's news. You're not in any exclusive club. And if you are, it's no club that most people want to be in. But this is the media echo chamber. They want to try to control, because there was a time where ABC, CBS, NBC, the New York Times, the Buffalo News, Time Magazine, they could control the information that you got. They could control the things you saw and didn't see. Right? So if podcasts were a thing in 95 and Time Magazine put this list out, let's assume there's no social media. Somehow podcasts exist, but none of the other stuff exists. Well, then people would look and go, oh, wow. Time says I should be listening to More Perfect. I'll have to listen to that. But now, they still have this belief, because they're up in some ivory tower. They still have this belief that they control the narrative. Or they're desperately hanging on, hoping that that day comes again where they can control the narrative. And it's so pathetic. And most thinking people who look at this list, even if you like some of these podcasts, probably go, how much more out of touch can you get? Back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, lots of hysteria from Elizabeth Warren and her friends on the Colbert guest list. I just can't believe that story's not going away. Every day it's something from those on the left just talking about how awful it is that we lost Stephen Colbert. You still get 10 months of Stephen Colbert. So, you know, hold your horses. You got 10 more months of just awful comedy. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on. Yeah, this podcast list Time Magazine, again, it's just an example of those in the media, in the mainstream legacy media, believing that they still have this hold on people, and they can dictate what you believe, they can dictate what you watch, what you listen to, and it's such an old way of thinking. Because I'm going to guess that most people who read, I mean, it got ratioed on X to begin with, but the amount of people who looked at this list and agreed with it, I would have to say very, very small number. So I wanted to bring that up. Also, Adam Ziegler, who still has not apologized for his Texas flooding cartoon. You know, he's been posting. I mean, he's still out there posting his doodles about ICE and, you know, his hatred of Trump and all that. But on his most recent cartoon, which has to do with the SNAP benefits. And again, I mean, the cartoon lacks context. SNAP benefits are cut for states that can't get their error down under 6%. Let me make sure I get that exact for you, because I want to make sure that I'm explaining it. In the big, beautiful bill, SNAP benefits will be, of course, it's not where I'm looking. Oh my gosh. But it's missing out that New York State could themselves fix the error but they won't. Right? So beginning in 2027, the law requires states to pay a portion of SNAP benefits up to 15% based on their payment error rates. So if you get your payment error rate, I believe it was under 6%, it won't be an issue. But of course, this has to be orange bad, bad, Trump bad, everything, my everything's, you know, Trump, Trump, Trump. So Adam Ziglis has, I don't know, this stupid doodle about poor people losing their SNAP, rich people getting richer. Again, that's another, that's another just out of context. The Trump tax cuts cut taxes for 85% of Americans. Joe Biden extended the Trump tax cuts. So if the Trump tax cuts are only good for the rich, for the 1%, why did Joe Biden extend them? It's just another talking point from Tim Kennedy and Democrats in Congress. They want you to think that the tax cuts. But again, if you pay taxes and can remember back to 2017, 8 years ago, you realize you're paying less taxes. And ending the Trump tax cuts would have hurt the middle class more than anyone. So this talking point of the Trump tax cuts just being for the rich, it's ludicrous. It's not based in fact. And again, this goes back to what I said about Time Magazine. You've got these politicians in Washington that think they can dictate how you think, what you think, and forget that you have the World Wide Web at your disposal. Yes, full of a lot of fake information, but all you have to do is go to a government website, look at the specifics of the tax cut in 2017, or, you know, lived experience. Remember when your taxes were cut. But the point is, so Ziglis, you know, put this doodle out there, and he turned off the comments on it. I mean, really? Tough guy, tough doodler? You're going to turn off the comments on the cartoon that you drew because you don't want the backlash? I you know, hey, you can do what you want. Pulling cars has pulled that trick a few times too. I think that is just a wuss way to do it. I really do. If you're going to be Mr. Tough Guy, if you're going to question and talk about how awful Trump is, which is really, I mean, you're the Colbert of doodles, then, you know, at least bring, if you're going to bring it to the town square, which is X, see what the people are going to say about it. See about the reaction you get. You can't take criticism. I don't know how this guy still has a job, and I'm not asking for people to get canceled, but I mean, he has drawn some offensive, you know, the left, they like to use the phrase, this is problematic. We went back and watched American Pie, and we found that it was problematic for the current generation. Okay, well, I think some of Ziglis's cartoons, including the Texas flood one, I think they were problematic. But again, that's fine because he's on their team. He can draw whatever he wants. He can offend whoever he wants because he's on their team. Joe Biden, I mean, look at his career and the crap that he said. If Trump said half the stuff that Biden said in the early 2000s, it would be on a loop on MSNBC. That would be their test pattern on overnight. They would go back to a test pattern overnight of just Trump saying that. But again, he's on their team. They protect him. Adam Ziglis is on their team. They protect him. 803-0930, star 930. And then this, what is going on? You know, when I was, you should never, let me just say, you should never give in to bullies, obviously, right? But you know, when I was a kid, I was told that I was pale and I sweat a disgusting amount when I work out. Well, guess what, Tanner? I am pale and I do sweat a disgusting amount when I work out, okay? Those are true. Someone needs to tell Mark Warner, Adam Schiff, Mark Poloncarz, these politicians, no one wants to be that close to your face, okay? Stop with the selfie videos. My gosh, Mark Warner and Adam Schiff put out these videos yesterday. You could see right up their nostrils. Someone needs, hey, people, you know, tough love. Joe, you know, you gotta change when you leave the gym. You're leaving drip marks all the way to your car. Okay, I get it. I sweat a lot. It's disgusting. Fine. Someone needs to tell Mark Warner, Adam Schiff, Mark Poloncarz, guys, no one wants to be that close to your face. You're not overly attractive, right? We didn't need the selfie video. We know what you look like. It's a little awkward. You guys are old doing selfie videos. Grow up. But Warner and Schiff, they've been, you know, they're big on the Epstein file now. They didn't know the Epstein file existed during the Biden administration. Now, all of a sudden, they're into the Epstein files, and they want them released. So now they're making selfie videos to demand the release of the Epstein file. Meanwhile, as you heard, Elizabeth Warren, she's also making selfie videos talking about the Colbert shows. No one wants to see you guys. Like, you're in politics, okay? Back away from the camera. You know, Mark Warner, you can... you know, set up like against a book or something and sit at your desk. But we don't need to see your nostrils. That's not important. It's, you know, it kind of makes me want to scroll to the next video. I think it's actually working against you, bro. Someone just needs, it's just tough love, right? That's the weirdest thing I have seen in the last year or so, are these politicians doing selfie videos. It's, you know, we don't need that. We really don't. No one asked for that. And then I thought this was funny. You know, it's always funny when politicians, some that are just really detached from reality, try to be normal people, you know, try to like act like a human. And I think it's always funny. And I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I always think this is funny. Alyssa Stalkin, she's a senator from Michigan. She said this on the floor yesterday that I thought was hilarious, because if you don't know, just don't pretend that you know, right? Like, if you don't know what you're talking about, if you don't know football or whatever, well, that's fine. Doesn't mean you can't be a senator, but don't embarrass yourself by trying to sound like you know what you're talking about. This is what she said yesterday.
Hinging that it's all bad, but by charting a strategy from beginning to end on how we get through this moment. And we will. For God's sakes, people, the Detroit Lions are going to win the national championship and the Super Bowl, and they were in the toilet for years.
Okay, the Detroit Lions can't win the national championship, because the national championship, usually when you refer to the national championship, you're talking about college football. The Detroit Lions are not playing in the national championship. The Super Bowl part she got right. But I think what she meant to say was they're going to win the NFC in the Super Bowl, but she doesn't know because she probably doesn't really watch football, right? It's so uncomfortable. And isn't it kind of sad how many of our elected officials, locally and nationally, have to pretend to be human? Like, they have to pretend to be social and pretend to enjoy the things that the average American human being enjoys. Like, how do we get to this point? How do we get to this point that people in Washington are so detached that they need coaching on what normal people are talking about and how normal people act in their social lives? I'll never understand it. But I'd like to get back to a spot where people, you know, who talk like you and me and are just normal people are the ones in the chairs in D.C. I think that's why Trump was so, you know, I think in 2016, that's why Trump was so attracted to people. It's like, yeah, he says dumb stuff. I say dumb stuff. Sometimes he has to backtrack on what he said. Yeah. I don't know. Tom Bowerly has a show up next after the news with Tom Puckett. Tom, happy Thursday.
Yeah, you going to Fecal Beach today?
I will not be going to Fecal Beach, and I probably won't go for the rest of the summer. Those warnings freak me out.
Really? Well, what's a little poop between friends? Come on. I mean, but, you know, you were talking about the – did you say earlier that you weren't sure about eating fish from Lake Erie?
I I mean, with these warnings, Tom, yeah.
I have some good news for you. In particular, with the walleye, with any fish from Lake Erie, the fecal bacteria, if there's any on the fish, is going to come off when you are cooking the fish. Presumably, you're not eating the fish raw.
No, not out of Lake Erie, no.
The bigger danger is with PCBs and mercury, because those get absorbed into the fatty tissue and the dark tissue of the fish that you're going to eat. So you should be okay. If you're eating a crappie, it shouldn't be poopy. I just wanted to make that point. But anyway,
good to know.
Yeah, if you're eating a crappie, it shouldn't be poopy. I like that one. That's a T-shirt waiting to be made. So anyway, we're going to focus on the bitterly cold temperatures outside today and the need to stay warm and dress in bundles and layers and everything like that. Coming up after the news at 3 o'clock, Joe, did you hear the story about the Cheektowaga police officer off duty who's being investigated because he displayed a firearm at a golf course in Amherst during an altercation or an imminent altercation with other golfers, because he hit a tee shot, seventh hole at Glen Oaks, and I guess he didn't yell four, and the other golfers were not too pleased that he'd almost hit them, and the one golfer came over and allegedly was waving his club in a threatening manner and threatening to beat up the guy he didn't know was an off-duty cop.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you well, that is absolutely a story, and we're going to get into that a little bit. He identified himself as a police officer. He displayed his departmental identification. As far as I know, he did not point his firearm in the direction of anybody, and he removed it from his golf bag. Somebody said, well, is it normal for a police officer to have a firearm in his golf bag? Okay, try swinging a golf club with something on your hip. It isn't easy. Carrying a firearm is a pain in the ass, frankly. But I just thought you should know that. But anyway, we're going to get into that a little bit. This is one of the reasons I don't golf, because I'd be the guy who doesn't yell four, and my best shot of my life would be right on somebody's head ahead of me. Because, I mean, I did get a hole in one the first time I ever tried playing golf. It went right through the windmill and just right into the hole. It was awesome. Is miniature golf. I'm a miniature man. I play miniature golf.
The best kind of golf. We need more mini golf here in Buffalo. It's sad that we only have the one course. Great course, but wish we had more.
Well, actually, I'm going to play a number of the courses because I would like to be the intercourse champion in Western New York. But I'm a sick man, clearly in need of help. But the other thing, too, is obviously we had a horrible boating accident last night. And I'm not trying to, like, obviously, I'm not making fun of the boating accident. That would be sick. But I was wondering, we've done a lot of shows about driving and what drives people crazy about driving and what other people do. And I want to ask the boaters, in addition to asking, when you get water in your mouth from Lake Erie, are you okay as long as it's a little bit offshore? But what are some of the things that other boaters do or other people on watercraft do that really make you furious, or people who are your guests on the boat? Do's and don'ts of being a guest on your boat, because it's hot outside. I bet a lot of people are going to be asking their friends to take them out on their boat.
Yeah, I love that, Tom. I would also love an invitation to come out on someone's boat. Just
well,
count me in.
You can be the man in the boat. You just have to make the right inquiries amongst your friends. I'd ask Stelliano. He's got a yacht.
He does. He does. And he's always talking about it. Is him talking about it an invite and I'm just not picking up on it?
No. Oh. Because now Jimmy's selfish, actually. He likes to talk about his boat, his yacht, but he doesn't like to invite. And I don't know anybody at the station who's been invited on Stelliano's yacht.
No, he does talk about the journeys down to Erie, but never. I've never been asked to tag along. Maybe. Yeah,
frankly, I think Jimmy ought to take a one-way trip to the Bermuda Triangle and never come back. Him and his gas.
Yeah,
you know, you want to keep the fecal bacteria off the lake. Have Jimmy direct the gale of his stuff their way.
I was going to say, there's some fecal matter in the control room.
Many days, yes.
All right, Tom Bowerly is coming up next after the news with Tom Puckett. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 here on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.